You're listening to Work in Progress. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief of Working Nation. Work in Progress explores the rapidly changing workplace through conversations with innovators, educators, and decision-makers, people with solutions to today's workforce challenges. Hello, everyone. Today on the podcast, we're talking about entrepreneurship and financial literacy, both of which can lead to personal economic freedom and financial empowerment. That goal is at the heart of the mission for the Singleton Foundation. Joining me now is the CEO of the nonprofit, Shelley Miles. Shelley, welcome.
Thanks, Ramona, and thanks for having us on your podcast today.
So excited to talk about this because I think entrepreneurship is a very important subject right now. Financial literacy is always a very important subject. So I'd like the audience to hear a little bit about Singleton before we get into the subject. So tell us about the mission. Tell us what inspired the mission.
Well, really, the mission was the inspiration of Will and Carrie Singleton, who are the founders of the foundation. And it happened on their first date, believe it or not.
That's great.
Carrie and Will were talking, and he asked her what was important to her and what did she want her legacy project to be. And she was so stunned, she stopped for a moment and she started talking about entrepreneurship and how important it is that people have the ability to start and have the opportunities that entrepreneurship bring to the table, and talked about her family. And then she turned around and asked him what he wanted his legacy project to be. And he said financial literacy. It was a very unusual first date. And she asked him why. And he said that when he was growing up, he hadn't really learned much about it. And as he started working with a family business, he realized how much he didn't know and started to study it, and then started to look around and recognize so many problems that they saw in the world that have to do with a lack of financial literacy. And they became alarmed about some of the statistics, you know, things like how much debt there is, the $1.5 trillion in debt. And he wanted to do something about it. So they got together and started the foundation.
Did she have entrepreneurship in her background, or was it just something that she had an interest in?
Now, she grew up in a very entrepreneurial family and then has worked in many businesses and had businesses of her own, a variety of businesses. So it's just part of her DNA and who she is.
You know, when I was in, I think, middle school, they taught us how, or maybe it was high school, they taught us how to write a check. And I think that was the full extent of what the financial literacy was in our school. There was no talk about banks and credit, et cetera. And do you find that that's going on now in schools?
It's really never been taught much in school. A long time ago, the closest thing that came to a financial literacy course were some of the courses that girls took in home economics, because they felt that they needed to know that. It's never been a real thing. And while financial literacy is still only taught in a limited number of schools, it has been improving over the last couple of years. So 2 years ago, I think there were only 11 states that required financial literacy education. And now I believe it's 24. Still a long way to go.
A little progress, but obviously not enough. And you had like a stat on your website, one of your Million Stories website, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But you talked about how 44% of millennials are financially literate, just 44%. That's also just a small number.
Yeah, it's a staggering number, actually, when you think that that means that less than half the people and half the millennials can answer even basic questions. When I say basic, I mean things like, how does compound interest work? How do you measure risk? Just really basic questions. And people don't know the information unless they've been lucky enough to grow up in a family where their parents have taught them this, or worked in a business, or been particularly interested in it. They haven't had the opportunity to learn it.
So what is Singleton doing to change this? How are you trying to achieve the goal of your mission?
So we're doing it in a couple of different ways. We're actually doing an unusual approach. We've decided to use entertainment as the entry point to learning these skills, because we really think that financial knowledge doesn't need to be daunting or hard or boring. You know, it should be engaging and it should be fun to do. So it becomes a habit. If you think about, I like to eat. So if you think about food, you know, learning how to eat in a healthy way every day, if it's prescribed and feels like you're going to have to start eating not fun things, you won't want to do it. But if the recipes are delicious and presented beautifully, then it becomes a daily routine. And we're really looking for people to have good financial habits that become their routine. And so we saw that entertainment was a way that we could attract attention and inspire engagement and to kind of break down the taboo about talking about money.
So this is where Million Stories comes in, right? You created this website and you have brought in NFL player to tell part of the stories. Tell me a little bit about what he's doing.
Well, it's very interesting. So Richard Sherman is a superstar NFL player. He was at the Super Bowl for the third time in his career this year. And he grew up in Compton, California, which is in the south part of Los Angeles, to a very modest family. And he struggled a lot when he was a kid and saw that learning financial literacy was critical to what was going to happen to him. So he worked really hard. He had great parents. He ended up going to Stanford on both an academic and a sports scholarship. And when he got there, a lot of things happened to him. People offered him credit cards. He got into some debt. And so this is a personal mission for him. And so he was so generous when he offered to come be on our show, Adulting with Richard Sherman, which is all about some of the first financial decisions that people are making as they move out of their parents' house and start having their own financial responsibilities. So he covers things like budgeting, payday loans, how to manage your credit, how to get credit, all the basics of what you need to know.
And for those who haven't seen it yet, but I encourage everybody to go look at it, how does he do this? Does he do interviews? You said entertainment and storytelling is a part of this platform. So how is he doing that?
For his particular show, it's a combination of him telling his personal stories, and then it's really fun. An animated coach comes on and breaks down whatever he's trying to teach into a few easy steps. And the animation is first class and very funny. And so, and he's got a big personality. So he brings his whole personality to bear. And they're short episodes. So they're very watchable and they're designed to really consume media the way that people do it today, on their phones, in short snips, also on their computers, but you know, most people watch it on their phone.
One of the series that I really like is Faceplant. I love the idea that people, there's no straight path to success and that there's failure sometimes when people are looking, you know, to reach their dreams. And I think those stories really can resonate with a lot of people, especially young people who maybe start on one path and then end up in a different place.
You know, that is one of my favorites as well. Everybody fails and everybody has to change directions. And even sometimes circumstances that aren't your personal failure will cause you to change directions. Look at what we're going through in the world right now with COVID-19, where people are losing their jobs left and right, and they have to be able to pick themselves up and be flexible and consider changing directions or what can they do differently. And really, what I love about the show and how it was created was it lets people know that failure is really an opportunity. It's another problem that you have to figure out how to solve.
Faceplant is my favorite program. What's your favorite program?
So that's a really hard question because each of our shows was created for different reasons and slightly different audiences. So I love Adulting with Richard Sherman for those first financial decisions. I love Milk Money because it focuses on families and it's really for parents. And American Paycheck because they celebrate the entrepreneurs in different parts of the country. And of course, George Goes Everywhere because we love to travel even though we can't right now and it's fun. And I also really love Faceplant because it reminds us that we all fail and failure's not an end, it's just an opportunity.
Just this past week, we found out that the GDP has dropped dramatically. So we're in a recession. We're definitely in the middle of a recession. Millions of people have lost jobs, and that it's also putting a strain on young people who might have just gotten out of college, you know, finding that first job, finding a big job. So how are you guys talking about this? What are you trying to tell young people now in the face of COVID-19?
We looked at COVID-19 and saw that it was really an important time for us to, first of all, get started, because as you know, we just launched and we wanted to get out in a hurry. So we actually created some special programming for COVID-19. We put together two series. One is called Heads or Tails. And the idea is, oh, I have questions and I can't make heads or tails out of this. So we paired reality star Joey Sasso, who was the winner on Netflix's show The Circle, and we put him together with experts. So we paired him up with financial expert Gene Chatsky and with employment expert Johnny C. Taylor and with Dr. Mike of YouTube fame. And we took questions from people around the country, and so they could get a direct answer from them and get that information quickly. And because we wanted them to get it quickly, we put it on Instagram so it didn't have to go through the whole process of putting things up on the channel, and it was very accessible. And we created another series called COVID Chats, where we talked to people all over the country, different walks of life, different geographies, and kind of followed them on a day-to-day basis to kind of learn how the pandemic was impacting their lives and how they were coping and changing with it.
I've watched Heads or Tails, and I love Johnny Taylor. He's great from Sherm, for those who don't know him. He's just full of knowledge. And I know I listened to the one when it first came out about unemployment benefits and that, and very important, for especially for people who've never had to file them before. It can be very confusing. Are there plans to think of programming that might help people find jobs?
Well, first of all, we work with marvelous partners like Working Nation, who are very helpful in this field, and we're proud to partner up with them.
And we're proud to be a partner, by the way.
We aren't really a resource for looking for jobs, but what we do have is a lot of entrepreneurship information, because today in the world, I mean, even before COVID-19, entrepreneurship was so important. When you think about, you know, some of the facts that, but I heard a statistic that it was 90% of jobs that will exist in 2030 haven't even been invented yet. Well, you have to have a mindset to be able to react to new situations, go find out the information, find out what you need to know, and those, and have flexibility and the grit to pick yourself up and go do this. And a lot of that is about pivoting. And that's what entrepreneurs do. Learning about entrepreneurship is really basic. And it's the way that people can be in charge of their own lives. So if you think of your life as a business and you're the head of it, you know, you think about how you're going to run it in the way that benefits you. Every problem is really an opportunity. And things are changing so rapidly. I have a daughter that was hired to do one job that had to do with production. And the next thing she knew, she was in charge of helping people make sure they were safe when they were coming to work and having to learn all about COVID-19.
It's that ability to pivot, that skill to be able to adjust to your work environment makes for a very good entrepreneur. I know you have resources on the site. Tell us how that works. You go through a program of video?
Yeah, so the resources on the site are pretty robust, and they cover a variety of topics, everything from basic financial literacy topics like Money 101, budgeting, through entrepreneurial topics. And it covers things like, how do you assess the market you want to go into and find out who's out there, marketing, even introduction to financial statements, and different things that you need to know to be an entrepreneur. And they're short modules that you can take them a little bit at a time, and they're somewhat interactive. There's some video, and then we have a lot of videos, some in our regular programming and some in programming that we've either curated or working with partners on that cover other topics. So when someone's watching a video on the Million Story site, there's always a dive deeper button. And so if the story inspired you or made you look in the mirror and go, oh boy, I really need to know this too. The Dive Deeper button takes you to the resources, and there you can find related topics to what you were watching.
Now, this is geared toward millennials. Why millennials? Why target them as opposed to just the general population?
Well, we'd really like to reach everyone, but you always have to start someplace. And so we chose millennials for a lot of reasons. One is that they're the largest part of the workforce. A lot of them have debt. I think the average millennial has over $40,000 in debt. A lot of them have student loan debt. And they're going to live a long time. And that's all before the pandemic hit. Jobs are changing so quickly. There's no more fixed benefit pensions. So it's really up to them to get the skills that they need to be able to plan their lives. And we're hoping that they'll want to teach their kids as they learn this information and maybe help their parents. We started with millennials. We're bringing the Gen Zs in to the program, and we have things of interest to them. And then eventually, over time, you know, we'll probably age down and then maybe age up. But we're really looking at this giant population of people in the workforce as a great anchor and a very needy group for having these skills.
You've been in this space for a while now, and Million Stories is new, but the Singleton Foundation has been around. What message would you like to tell people about being financially literate? How does it change your life?
I think the message that we'd like to tell people is that by being financially literate, you have the skills to plan your life and to plan it with confidence. Money is a big part of our lives, whether we like it or not. Money is the key to how much education we can afford. It's the key to what kind of house and what kind of neighborhood you can live in. It's the key to trying not to be in debt. Debt is a part of learning about money and what happens if you don't know about compound interest and you find out that when you owe money, it's a giant number, and when you're earning money, it's a smaller number. So financial literacy is really a key to be able to have control over your life. And it's part of being healthy. So in the same way that you want to eat right and you want to exercise, you need to take care of your money as well to have a successful future.
I saw your video on the website, and he was very sad that he couldn't go anywhere.
You know, he traveled around and found the most obscure and fun things that you could do for little to no money. And really, even though it's about travel, that show's really about planning. And that's a skill that we all need.
Yeah, it reminds me of the books that I used to get when I'd go to Europe, you know, like Paris on $25 a day, which was always one of my favorite books. There are these resources there for the millennials. Are there resources for older adults as well?
So the resources on our site are really applicable to everyone. So while we focus the entertainment and the design of the site towards millennials, it's really never too late for someone to be an entrepreneur. I think that Colonel Sanders' first franchise, Kentucky Fried Chicken, in the 60s, and Leo Goodwin started Geico when he was 50, and the skills and the entrepreneurial basics are all the same. So they're still applicable no matter how old or how young you are.
Interesting you should say that, because the average age of a successful business entrepreneur or someone starting their business is 40 years old. And I've always looked at it as at 40, you've had multiple jobs, you have problem solved, you've had to create plans, you might have managed people, you probably have expertise at a certain field. And I'm sure you've done your research too before you start the business. But at 40 years old, you set yourself up for success with some of the experience that you have. So you are never too old.
You know, I really agree with that. I see friends and colleagues setting up new businesses all the time. And I think it's all the things that you just said. And I also think when people are around 40, they have a lot of confidence in themselves. And that's a really good attribute to have when you're trying to start a business.
Coming up, there's going to be another element to the foundation outside of Million Stories. It's going to be a game. Tell me a little bit about that. Give us a preview.
Well, the preview is that we are creating a game called Venture Valley, and it's a game all about being an entrepreneur. It gives you the opportunity to start a business and be the CEO of the business and grow that business and then grow an empire. And you do this all in a really exciting, competitive way. So it's a tournament style multiplayer game that you can play with your friends, you can play by yourself against bots. But we're really looking forward to it and are very excited about it coming out.
So you're not really starting a business, but you are starting a virtual business. So you learn about being an entrepreneur.
Yes. And the idea is we give people the opportunity to see what it feels like to be a CEO and have to make all the kinds of decisions that CEOs have to make every day in their businesses. But it's fun and fanciful and quick moving. And I think the idea to know that having a business is fun, running a business can be fun, and give people the opportunity to see that they can be successful doing this.
So I know you haven't announced when it's going to go live yet. Are you in a place where you can tell us what the prize is going to be?
Well, we are planning that there will be real world prizes, and I can't exactly tell you about what they are yet, but it is a competitive game.
Tell our audience where they can go to see Million Stories.
So you can find Million Stories at millionstories.com, and you can also find us on Instagram at Million Stories Media.
Thank you, Shelley, very much for being a part of Work in Progress. I really appreciate you taking the time to share information about Million Stories and the Singleton Foundation, and to give us a sneak preview on Venture Valley Game.
Ramona, thanks again for having me on the show.
This is Ramona Schindelheim. I'm editor-in-chief of Working Nation. Our producer is Larry Buell. Our executive producers are Melissa Panzer and Joan Lynch. Thank you for listening.